Welcome to Fresnolandia. I'm Jordan Maddox.
I'm Donnie Bergstrom. On today's Fresnolandia, we are joined by Laura Gromis, who is the Executive Director of the Green Building Council of Central California and is also a member of Fresno's Active Transportation Advisory Committee. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, so we're going to talk today about all things pedestrian and bicycle safety or street safety and a new initiative called Vision Zero that the city is working on. But before we get into that, just a little bit of context for everyone. So there was a report that came out from Washington, D.C., Think and Do Tank called Smart Growth America earlier this year. And every year they do a report where they rank the biggest metropolitan areas in the U.S. by who is the most dangerous for pedestrians.
Not a top 10 you want to be on.
Not a top 10 that you want to be on. And Fresno ranks 7th of the worst U.S. metros for pedestrian safety in the country. We weren't the worst California city. That goes to Bakersfield, who was number 4. But we're in good company with a bunch of other Sunbelt metros.
Who was the most dangerous city?
It was in Tennessee. I think it was Memphis. It was Memphis, Tennessee.
Interesting. Wow.
Sunbelt.
Okay. Huh.
It's all about the Sunbelt.
Wouldn't
have thought. Yeah. In the stats that they had, 196 pedestrians in Fresno County died in the period of 2018 to 2022. We have a lot of work to do. And Laura, I just want to dive into this for a little bit for you. Are you surprised by this ranking?
Not at all, not at all. I've been in this pedestrian and bicycle active transportation advocacy space since about 2016. And when I started off, I just wanted to get people out and ride their bikes, walk, and really see that as a mode of transportation that you don't necessarily need to use your car. But as I was trying to work on encouragement programs, I realized really quickly that safety is a really big issue here in Fresno. And so I'm not at all surprised by the statistics. It's pretty spot on. And it really highlights that we have a lot of work cut out for us to change that situation here on the ground.
So what makes for a dangerous intersection? Are there attributes to it that we can know without looking at fatality rates? Like, how would you look at that and how would you identify a dangerous intersection or a dangerous street, rather?
There's a lot of factors that come into place. It depends on how much space there is for the cars and how little visibility there is for pedestrians and bicyclists. It depends on the awareness of the drivers. Very often, it's not just the infrastructure that plays into play, but it's really the behavior of drivers. So people not paying attention is a really big factor. There's a lot of factors that come together that imperil our safety on our streets. It's the infrastructure itself, and then it's the behavior of the drivers. If there's low visibility, if there's a lot of cars, if there's a lot of lanes, that automatically makes it much more dangerous. And yeah, here in Fresno, we see a lot of those intersections where it takes a long time for people to even cross the road get to the other side.
Okay.
What's your personal motivation for getting more involved in the advocacy space around safer streets? What's your personal story here?
So I'm leading the U.S. Green Building Council, Central California, and I've done that work since 2014. And we were always for green buildings. But one of the things with green buildings is if you account for all those ways how you can count a green building, how you get to the building, transportation is a factor as well. When the Transformative Climate Initiatives came to Fresno, we decided that we really have to start getting involved in advocacy here in our community. Beforehand, we just did educational workshops for architects and engineers to learn about green buildings, and there's so many great things you can do to make a building greener on the technical side, but also going back to basic elements. But at that point, we decided we have to start going out in the community and we have to have more interactions with people to discuss green buildings. And it was a long process, this Transformative Climate Communities process here in Fresno to get to the Transform Fresno program that we just finished. And so throughout this process, we connected with a group of folks that were all really advocating for the implementation of active transportation elements in this plan. And we've really felt that green buildings really have to be connected by green infrastructure. And so that's how we got connected to this group of advocates. And that really started my journey in advocating this here in Fresno. I grew up in Cologne, Germany, and I was always on my bike or walking or using public transportation to connect the distance. So I grew up in this environment where it's just so normal to walk and bike. And once I moved to Fresno, I was really missing that. And I actually stopped doing it for a while because Fresno is not set up for pedestrians. Fresno is not set up for bicyclists. It feels unsafe. There's sometimes barking dogs that make it difficult to get around.
That's one of the things I wonder about. When you live in a big city, you get used to dealing with pedestrians, and so there's like a driver learned behavior. But if you don't see them because the city's not set up for it, you don't get practice. So how do you create a safe pedestrian culture in a city that's car centric if they don't have that experience of constantly dealing with pedestrians?
Well, that's a very big question, and we can talk about that.
Yeah, you can break it down into components, for sure.
I mean, for me, I think one of the most important things that I learned as a child was that you're a participant in traffic, not just as a car, but that's what I learned as a child pedestrian and as a child bicyclist. And I think we really need to get to this mode shift that everybody is realizing that there are different participants in traffic, and it's not just all the cars and trucks that are around, but it's the pedestrians and it's the bicyclists. We need to create this awareness that people don't just look out for cars, but they look out for pedestrians and they look out for bicyclists. I think that's like the most important part.
I think about that a lot. I live next to Clinton Avenue, which is a very busy street in Fresno. And my kids have a lot of friends and a lot of things that they want to do on the other side of Clinton. So we cross Clinton all the time. And I'm constantly teaching my kids who are 10 and 6 how to cross a busy street. And like, it's helped me be more concrete about the things that I look for. Like, you're not just looking forward to the light shift, because everyone knows there's red light runners constantly. You're looking at what's the velocity of cars as they approach the intersection. Do they appear to be slowing down? You're looking at, do those drivers look distracted, or do they look like, are they making eye contact with you? How many times are you looking?
Do so much mental work at an intersection.
It is a lot. Mm-hmm. And like, teaching younger children how to do that is really important. I was not taught that. I grew up on a farm, so like, I got a crash course in this when I went to college, but it's interesting, and I feel like a lot of adults haven't learned those behaviors in Fresno either.
Absolutely, yeah, I feel like there's this missing link. I have a 9-year-old and a 12-year-old, and of course I teach them how to cross a road, how to bicycle on our roads here, staying on the right side. A lot of people think that you should ride against traffic, which is really not safe.
No.
You should ride with traffic on the right side, as far right as you can. And just looking left when crossing a road is really crucial. Then through my work and through my kids, I got more involved in educational efforts, working with kids, sometimes also people of older age ranges. And really, it's important to think of those basics. And if we think about how can we make Fresno more bicycle and active transportation friendly, it's really important that we have that awareness that it's not just the infrastructure investment that we need, but we also need this education on the ground for kids, but also for other ages.
And at the same time, even if you have the most aware pedestrians that are doing all the right things, it's hard for them to compete against roads where cars that are designed for cars to go over 40, 50 miles an
hour. Yeah, let's talk about speed limits, because I think that's a big factor here. Is that one of the primary things we need to do? Because I think about this, it's a risk mitigation situation where you want to have people efficiently get to their destinations while reducing risk. And how do you find that balance between those two?
Yeah, that can definitely be one of the tools that can be used. Speed limits, reducing speeds in certain areas or generally on our roads here in the city. There's also a lot of great tools that you can use to make the road a little narrow or appearing more narrow so people slow automatically down. So that can definitely be one of the recommendations.
And I know that's been something that a lot of experts in the field have talked about is, in order to make our streets safer, we just have to give a lot of our roads a diet, if you will. Is that the right terminology, that they use road diets?
The roadside. Yes, so that's certainly one of the tools that can be used.
But they did a road diet on Palm in my neighborhood, which I love. It's very helpful for me as a person who walks in my neighborhood, but I know it's not very popular with a lot of people as well. So how do you build political will around things that are basically just meant to make your car go slower when people want to go fast?
I think one of the important things is that we give more people a voice and more people a place at the table. Yes, there are some people that feel inconvenienced if it takes a little longer to get to a place, but there's a lot of people that really feel positive when it's safer on our roads for all participants in traffic. So we hear often very loud voices, but then the majority is actually in support of something else, right? But they just don't have a voice. And I think that's why public outreach and public conversations around those are really important. So currently we are working on the Vision Zero plan, and we'll introduce that in a little bit more in depth. But throughout this process, we are really making sure that there's a lot of community engagement, and it shows that a lot of people are really concerned. And when you meet parents that lost their kids on our roads, because some people could get a little bit faster to their destination by the street designs, you really have to think a little bit deeper about what is really important.
How does enforcement play into this? So using traffic stops, red light cameras, those kinds of things. Do they have a big impact on increasing safety?
They can have that. I cannot say that I'm the specialist for what is the most important tool. And I have to say, we're currently in the middle of the Vision Zero plan. And
let's just take the time to explain that now. Yeah, absolutely.
Sure, because our streets are so unsave, the active transportation advocacy community has really been trying to find a way how to make our streets safer. And we advocated for protected bike lanes and were successful for the city to apply for some quick build grants and get more protected bike lanes. But then we really felt like we need to go beyond that. It's like a systematic problem, and it requires a systematic answer. So a couple of years ago, in the Active Transportation Advisory Committee, which is a committee of appointed representatives from all the different districts in Fresno, plus a mayor that meets monthly with Public Works to discuss all things active transportation. And so a couple of years ago, we really felt that we need to just become stronger and really have a stronger approach. And so we had a task force focused on Vision Zero to learn about Vision Zero and recommend to City Council and Public Works to work on Vision Zero. And because of that advocacy, the city applied for a grant and got funding, $400,000, to develop a Vision Zero action plan. And then the council added $100,000 to it to get to the amount of money that we needed to develop this plan. And it's Vision Zero is a systematic approach to make our streets safer.
What are the most dangerous streets and intersections in Fresno? Do you know off the top of your head?
I wish I could say that, and I wish I would have an answer for you. However, our consultant just released the data, and it's really all over the place. We have, if you look...
So there's no concentrated pockets, it's distributed?
We were looking for a concentrated spot. Where do we have the most accidents? And there is number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10.
Is it more just like corridors, like certain streets where there's higher speeds? I'm thinking of Blackstone.
Right, I think Blackstone has historically come up as a dangerous street, yeah.
Yeah, Blackstone certainly has some of those intersections, but... honestly, if you look at the maps, it's all over.
That's interesting.
What does that tell you if it's so distributed?
It tells you that it's a systematic problem.
Yeah. That it's not specific places that you can like triage. You have to think about a citywide program. Interesting.
Yeah. You were asking me, how does an intersection look like that unsafe?
Yeah.
And it's all over the place.
So the city has had many different attempts at doing work to improve street safety. So what makes Vision Zero different than like an active transportation plan or other initiatives that people may have participated in the past?
So for the active transportation plan, we really look at connectivity, right? Where can people connect on through active transportation, through walking, biking? Where do you have missing bike lanes? Where do you have missing pedestrian infrastructure? Really important, really crucial. We're actually working on the active transportation plan at the same time right now, or the city of Fresno is. I'm just the chair of the Active Transportation Advisory Committee. But Vision Zero is really focused on bringing everybody together that has a voice in the process. So that includes different agencies, health agencies, police, anybody that is loosely connected with the subject, schools, representatives from schools, representatives from different agencies. agencies that are around here. And really, the folk, there is a lot of overlap. Like, they look both at accident statistics on collision, but this one is really focused on determining what is the situation on the ground, and then getting everybody's input on this situation to really flush out any problems that are on the safety side, and then coming up recommendations, and really important with a goal as well. How much do we want to reduce? Aim to reduce collisions and fatalities and severe accidents.
Yeah. Because isn't the goal of Vision Zero to get to a world where there's zero fatalities? And so having this imagination of, instead of just mitigating and making small changes around the edges to our streets, like, what would it actually take to have truly safe streets where people are dying?
Absolutely, yes.
Just radical, honestly.
It is. And it makes it also very difficult if you say, oh, okay, Vision Zero, we want zero fatalities. And what happens if you aim to do that and you say by 2030 we have zero fatalities, but we don't see any difference on the ground? So that's very discouraging. So we are still going to work through that question this year. Hopefully, if people are interested in it, they should come to our meetings. And the Active Transportation Advisory Committee meets every fourth Wednesday of the month, 5:30 at City Hall, or join any of the outreach meetings around Vision Zero. But it's really crucial to get that input and have that conversation. And so I'm a little hesitant to talk about all the solutions out there right now, because so far the only thing I've seen is that analysis of collisions and unsafe areas around Fresno, unsafe intersections or corridors. So the consultants, they are currently still working on developing like a toolkit that can be used. One thing, though, that we already can say is where we see a lot of possibilities, it's around schools. You might have heard about safe routes to school, and schools are a great opportunity for people to walk or bike on a routine level, and it's a great venue to make it easier to walk and bike, to ensure that all the kids, all the students around here and their parents or teachers can get to school safely without using a car. So there's a lot of overlap and a lot of collaboration on that side.
And I think you're speaking to another side of this, because aiming for zero is looking at what you're trying to reduce. But what are we increasing? We're increasing people's ability to get outside their homes, people's ability to enjoy bicycling. If we make the city safer, we're also increasing people's pedestrian time, getting on a bicycle, feeling comfortable to be on it.
It's a very
the health of a city.
And it's very pro-social. I live in probably one of the few walkable, bikeable neighborhoods in Fresno. And the amount of spontaneous social interactions that I have, because I'll just be walking to see a show or go get dinner and I'll run into a friend and then we'll make plans. And it's just constant. You're always running into people. And it's hard to go a day in my neighborhood without seeing someone I don't know in an unplanned way. Just fun.
Yeah. Absolutely. And you can experience a city differently, right?
Absolutely.
See things that you wouldn't see when you're
you slow down. You slow down quite a bit.
But I do think there's this culture piece. I chose to live in a walkable neighborhood. I would only live in a walkable neighborhood when I moved back to Fresno, in part because I've lived most of my adult life in more walkable cities. Fresno was the least walkable place I'd lived. And so I came to Fresno with one car for my whole family. And it wasn't until 2 years ago that I bought a car for my family, because we have too many extracurricular activities now. It's really hard to take the bus to all of them. But I feel like if you don't come from a place that values like walking and biking, it's like, how do you get people into that mindset?
So yeah, I think if they didn't grow up in Cologne, where it's just to be expected.
Or if they haven't lived in San Francisco or Oakland or New York City, like, it's just not something they think about. Because I think about parents, I know so many parents who are so deathly afraid to walk their kids to school. And it's not just for cars, but it's also, I can't have my kid walk 2 blocks to school because what if someone, you know, comes in and takes them? And so, like, how do you beat that out of parents and give them that sense of safety?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's have all the answers,
really,
Laura.
An important question. Yeah, envisioning what a future can look like that is different than what we have right now, it's always like a big challenge for all of us.
Yeah.
And that's why it's important to have so many different voices, right? We are strong because we are diverse and we all have different experiences and background. Fresno is one of the most diverse cities in the U.S. So I'm glad I can share my voice in this. So yeah, that has been part of our work to really help create that visioning. And there's a lot of really great folks in that bicycle and pedestrian advocacy space that are moving things along. And so part of creating that visioning has been part of the work. A couple of years ago, I think it was in the news, there was a delegation from the mayor and city council went to Münster, Germany, which is our partner city in Germany. And in Münster, 47% of all trips are done by bike, which is amazing. And as part of the discussion of people working on advocacy, it was made possible that such a big delegation of our political leadership could go to Germany and see how it really looks like in a city where so many people choose their bike instead of a car. I think, car rider or the amount of trips taken by cars at 26% in Münster, which is in comparison to Fresno, really different. I think here 75% of our trips are done by car and or even more. And take that out.
That's probably
that's okay. We don't take it out.
But we have a really high car usage rate. So it's really important to just share ideas and learn from the world that's out here.
And on that note, to close, if people want to learn more about it or get involved, how can they do that?
The City of Fresno has a website. If you just Google Vision Zero City of Fresno, you'll come to fresno.gov/public-work/vision-0. And there's more information about the Vision Zero process here in Fresno.
And more broadly, I talk to friends, parents all the time who are, this intersection is so dangerous. I don't know what to do about it. And they also don't feel like they have the solutions because we're not all traffic engineers. Beyond attending the city's meetings, when people have a complaint, what should they do to get a response? What would you suggest?
Never hesitate to go to Fresgo and just put it in there. If there's ever an issue on our roads or anything where the city can help us, Fresgo is your place. And Public Works or any city department gets a request for service or for issues that are out there.
Okay.
So from my experience, Public Works is actually wanting to hear from the community, from residents here in Fresno, if there's ever issues on our road. There is sometimes a little issue because we have county islands within Fresno. That's a topic for another day.
Yes.
But yeah, so there might be some areas where the city cannot help you, but generally use Fresgo, and that's your first step to find a solution or to get a solution for your problem.
That's good to know.
Fantastic. I want to get back on my bicycle more.
You should.
Yeah, I should.
You should, yeah. Fresno is actually ideal for biking. It's pretty flat, and there is a bunch of protected bike lanes now. On Barstow we have some, on Palm we have some, on Belmont we have some, on R Street. So try those, try the independent bike lanes that are there, and really important, speak up for that infrastructure as well, because very often Public Works or the council members, they hear the complaints about bicycle infrastructure from car drivers that have to slow down a little bit, but they don't hear enough from bicyclists or pedestrians that are happy about the safety. So if you're happy when you're on a new bike lane and you really enjoy that, just give a thumbs up to your council member and tell them that you really enjoy that, because that helps to get them to invest more money in this. And this is what we really need. We need to invest in our infrastructure, and we need to invest in our education around bicycle and pedestrian safety to get to that culture shift in our minds that sometimes keeps us from having progress on things that we all agree on we need to have progress on.
We close these podcasts in the same way each week with what we're loving this week. And we'll start with you, Laura. What are you loving this week?
this week is graduation week. So my kids are graduating. My daughter is graduating from kindergarten. And
Mine too.
Yeah.
So fun.
Excited for that. My son is graduating from fourth grade.
Same.
Oh my God, we have so much in common.
Danny. I know.
And then I'm ready for the summer with my kids. I have a lot of activities, but it's always fun to have the big summer break from school.
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, me. Oh, me. This week, I'm watching a TV show that I'm really enjoying. It's called Andor. It's a Star Wars show, and it's the writer-director is the same one that directed the movie Michael Clayton, which is kind of one of my favorite movies. It's like a corporate legal thriller, and it is the most adult Star Wars I've ever watched, and I am loving it so much. I was talking to someone about it, and they were like, they're describing season two as being a little boring because it's like corporate speak and like palace intrigue style drama. And I was like, oh, that's for me. I'm loving that. Yeah, I'm absolutely loving that show. Donnie?
Mine's a bit personal. My husband is a musician and has been basically since I've known him. And he had his first solo show last week during Art Hop. And he played a new set of experimental rock with all of these pedals. And it was super fun. And I was very proud because he brought his songwriting and music playing to a new level. So
that's where did he perform at Art Hop?
At Big Red. They did a singer-songwriter showcase at Big Red for Art Hop.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was
fun. He gonna do more now, you think?
I think so. I think he's game to start putting himself out there a little bit more. So
that's fantastic. This has been Fresnolandia. I'm Jordan Maddox.
I'm Donnie Bergstrom, and this podcast was recorded at Sun Stereo Warehouse in downtown Fresno. Audio editing and mixing was done by Jordan Maddox. Our lead image comes from Vaughn Ballinan, and our song comes from Stateless Rat.